Yes, darling, but is it art?
Dark Matter is a group exhibition currently on at Melanie Rodger Gallery. In 2008, contemporary art curator and writer Robert Leonard wrote the essay Hello Darkness, New Zealand Gothic, describing New Zealand or Antipodean Gothic as a turn of expression in New Zealand art, in which Ronnie Van Hout's 1992 photographic series Return of the Living Dead heralded a shift to viewing our landscape as a kind of haunted space, reimagining traditional European Gothic traditions in a way unique to New Zealand. It embraces darkness, the unfamiliar, and uneasiness, emerging partly in response to biculturalism as a dominant subject of discourse in New Zealand art in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Exhibiting work by Pōneke-based artists Harry Cooley and Simon Atwell, alongside Tamaki-based Simon Andres and Kirsten Roberts, Dark Matter delves into the artists' respective explorations of the Gothic, each artist individually playing with this concept, letting darkness and anxiety push and pull with its surprising softness and quirks that transpire in the works, creating a space which is both haunting yet strangely comforting simultaneously. I caught up with Melanie Rodger about curating the show and these artists' respective responses to the concept of New Zealand Gothic. Dark Matter, currently showing at Melanie Rodger Gallery, is a group exhibition showing Simon Atwell, Harry Cooley, Simon Andres and Kirsten Roberts, following the artists' respective explorations of the Gothic and the uneasy. I guess to begin with speaking about the show, for listeners maybe less familiar, are you able to introduce this concept of the Gothic in art and what that entails?
I'm not sure whether it's a formal art historical movement as such, but there's definitely one where there is a lineage that can be traced. I was kind of looking back at Robert Leonard's text from 2008 from Art in Australia. He wrote it. It was called Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, which is, of course, a line from The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. I thought I'd read out a quote that Robert wrote. The Gothic is a vague and rubbery category. When you go looking for the Gothic, you can find it in anything dark, deadly or diseased. Critics will forge, and have forged, different personal canons of New Zealand Gothic. But the question remains, why is New Zealand home to the Gothic when it is supposed to be such a nice place? New Zealand Gothic flourishes as an expression of who we are, but also of who we do not want to be. Would-be refugees from the half-gallon, quarter-acre Pavlova paradise are happier imagining themselves besieged by ancestral curses, sadistic nannies, mass murderers, iced-up paranoids and vampires. For all of its supposed darkness and disruption, the Gothic is fundamentally romantic and reassuring. It is a mode of enjoyment, a way of taking pleasure, and that's why it will never be part of a utopian, bicultural solution, because in preferring the Gothic, we prefer the problem. I kind of use that as a bit of a starting point. As I say, it's not new. I think the Gothic in New Zealand art, you know, traces right back to Colin McCann, but you can sort of see the lineage going through with, you know, quite a number of other artists. You know, Tony Fomerson, for instance, has really dark content. Lawrence Eberhardt, in terms of photography, you know, a lot of his works, those sort of particularly some of those earlier works look like crime scene photos, and then you can sort of see that tracing through with people like Gavin Hipkins, his Homely series, Yvonne Todd, Anne Shelton, a lot of her sort of public places series from the early 2000s, Abandoned Buildings, Ronnie Van Hout, of course. He even did a work called Psycho, which is from 1999 in the Chartwell collection. Bill Hammond, his metal-influenced works, and, of course, The Birds with, you know, holding sort of that dark past. Jason Grieg, Seraphine Pick, her Goth Princesses, Tony Della Torre. It was a very southern movement, sort of at the beginning of the 90s, really. Yeah, I think that's sort of the trace lineage.
I understand this exhibition is, I guess, kind of the most curated show by yourself in your program for 2026. What interested you personally about centering an exhibition around these themes?
Yeah, I like to do at least one, I guess, more curated show rather than just a group stockroom show, you know, each year. We've got a couple in the program this year, but I think I was just sort of pulling together threads of some work that I was interested in. When I was down in Wellington, must have been last year, I saw the show The Brood in 2025, yeah, at the Douse. That was curated by the curator of Screams, which is Aaron Lister and Chelsea Nichols. It's their not-so-secret alias. Yeah, that took the title from David Cronenberg's 1979 psychological body horror film. And it consisted of nine newly commissioned sort of bodies of work across painting, sculpture, installation, photography and film. And that was when I first saw Harry Cooley's work at that scale, you know, sort of seeing works in online or, you know, in books, publications, etc., is never the same as standing in front of them. And Harry's works are big. You know, they are, gosh, I think they're about 1.5 high. So they're big silver gelatin prints. And, you know, sort of standing amongst those, I think there was 5 big works in that show. You know, that was sort of, you know, one of the impetus. And then I'd been looking at Simon Atwell's work, really interested in his burnt out building works. So sort of pulling those threads together, looking at other people, you know, in Auckland. We have Simon Andres, whose work I had, you know, known for a little couple of years now, seeing that develop, and Kirsten Roberts. So just pulling them together to sort of have those conversations, I think.
So you started with Harry Cooley's work. Can you kind of tell me a bit about the kind of progression of piecing the show together and selecting those artists?
I think it was more I was looking at things, and then I guess it was rather than going looking for them with a concept, it was more looking at artists that I was interested in their work and then pulling those threads together, I think, more so.
Mm-hmm. As we've mentioned, of course, Dark Matter is exhibiting 4 artists from across the Motu. You've kind of touched on them a little bit there, but would you be able to speak a little to each artist in the show and the work they're exhibiting?
Yeah, so we've got Simon Atwell's House Fire series. So he's got found images of burnt out houses, and he makes these by actually harvesting charcoal from burnt out houses as well, but they're not literal representations of that. It's more a conceptual thing. You know, he's not, I think actually curator of Scream said something along the lines of in an essay which they wrote, which was he's not ambulance chasing, you know, looking for burnt out buildings, but, you know, those it's a nice conversation between the materials and the imagery and the concepts. So we've got 4 works in the show, really beautiful imagery. He prints them, they're sort of screen printed unique pieces, but that's kind of a simplistic way of looking at it. You know, I'm not going to give away the tricks of the trade on how he does it, but they're each unique images, and they're really beautiful as well as sort of being quite macabre. Harry Cooley's work, as I say, we've sort of touched on that a little bit. We've got 3 large-scale silver gelatin prints. It's a wider series, and I think it's an ongoing series as well, where he's, you know, finding those weird, I think, sort of everyday images that a lot of us might see, but through his eyes. You know, there's one that's called, one that's a photo of Vampire Grove. They've actually all untitled works, but in brackets, you know, Vampire Grove, Bruce Avenue, Bridge Street. So, you know, so looking at where they're taken, but I don't know, the simplicity of the titles even, you know, leaves it quite open to interpretation in a way, and you're bringing your own sort of sense of that reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that one's, you know, an image of, as I say, a signpost, Vampire Grove. There's a few really weird names in New Zealand, which again is that kind of gothic influence. I can't remember, I did actually look up, you know, you can Google it actually, you can Google, I think it's sort of, you know, weird place names or weird street names, and there's a couple of really strange ones around. Maybe there'll be some more in Carrie's series. There's one of his cat sitting on a toilet.
Yes.
And there's one of a child, you know, holding a rake, which is very sort of American Gothic, you know, the painting. Yeah, so that's those are really big, beautiful. And we've just installed them in the exhibition. They're actually just nailed to the wall. Yeah, so Harry sort of printed them up with, you know, extra space at the top and bottom so they can be framed, you know, in that way. Kirsten Roberts, I went to Kirsten's studio and was looking at both her paintings, and then she showed me her monoprints as well, which were unframed. The paintings are amazing. They weren't quite right for this particular exhibition. I really wanted to keep it really quite almost monochromatic and within the space. Although that said, our window is not. We could talk about that a bit afterwards. But yeah, so the monoprints are very small. They're sort of postcard size that Kirsten has made. She has done some bigger ones. We have some of those out the back. But within the show, there's some smaller pieces, all unique works. One of them, it's a figure kind of almost disintegrating. It's very emotional, you know, tiny, but it packs a lot of sort of powerful emotion into it, which I really like. And then we've got Simon Andres. So Simon's work, we've got 3 of his kind of life size, not my scale, but maybe his scale, figures within the show, which are all from found materials. We've got, yeah, sort of 2 within the space, which, you know, at the opening it was quite interesting. You know, you almost couldn't see them amongst the crowd, which, you know, gave a whole different reading to them. One is a scarecrow-like figure, holding with its sort of arms out full of hay. And Simon has a really interesting materials list where he very much talks about every little detail of them. So like that one, it's I think he's referred to it as home cultivated hay. You know, so he actually made that himself, which is cool, I think. There's heirloom steak knives for the feet of another figure, so that's quite interesting. These were first shown in a flood-damaged house last year in an exhibition that he did in the sort of Ponsonby Grey Lynn, where there were about 15 different figures. So we've just got three for the show, and it's a really nice conversation, I think.
I guess you kind of touched on it there, but the show is bringing together such a range of mediums from these artists' respective practices: photography, sculpture, monoprints, charcoal. Was that quite important to you in kind of capturing the Gothic as this larger movement in art in the space?
I don't know whether it was a conscious way to, I guess, capture the theme as such, but I did like the idea of putting together a show that had different mediums, for sure. And yeah, each of them is very, very different to the others. I think that's just sort of an interesting, for a group exhibition, you know, it's good to have different mediums and different ways of responding to an idea.
Yeah, I guess to add to that, I think with that, there's some quite interesting conversations that might emerge within the space, particularly with the placement of each work in the space. The works feel like they could be generating this kind of dialogue between one another. The distorted faces in Kirsten Roberts' work facing Simon Atwell's House Fire series feel both aesthetically linked, but also like they could be reactionary to one another. Or Simon Andre's sculptural avatars finding their own place within the space. Are there any conversations between the artists' works that transpired, whether subconscious or conscious, in curating the space?
I think it probably was quite subconscious until we actually got into the space, and Simon Andres and I, you know, really worked together to find the right placement for the two figures that are in the space. And so one of them, the work called Rooster, which is a scarecrow-like work that is facing directly towards Harry Cooley's work, where it's the figure holding the rake. So I think that's quite an interesting conversation. You know, they're not right next to each other. You know, it's not completely obvious, but you can definitely sort of see that visual correlation as well, which I think is quite interesting. And then, you know, another work of Simon's is, you know, directly looking at, you know, it's actually visually pointing and looking, you know, because they are, you know, lifelike figures, sort of avatars, as Simon, I think, refers to them, looking at Simon Atwell's work, you know. So I think that's quite an interesting one, you know, and we could turn it around. It could look at something else. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you know, Kirsten Roberts' works, you know, they are figures dissolving and looking out. So, you know, they are, yeah, looking out at the rest of the show in a way.
Mm. I kind of wanted to come back. You spoke a bit about colour earlier and the kind of binding, potentially looking to do a more monochromatic theme there. But the window, of course, if anyone who's seen the show or has walked past the gallery, is certainly not black and white.
No.
Can you kind of speak to me a little bit about that choice and I guess that contrast there?
Yeah, so Simon Andre's work is in the window. And look, some of Simon's works, you know, do play with a lot of different materials. There's some that have mirrors in them. There's some that, you know, that are a lot brighter. There's some really huge, one really huge work. They're kind of quirky. I think, pick some of the darker pieces to be within the show to sort of play with that kind of idea of the Gothic and the darkness. So that was a conscious choice, but equally, I wanted something that was going to, I guess, stand out a bit more in our window space. You know, we are a little bit unusual, maybe, that we do have a window that faces right out to the street. Yeah, we are on ground level, which I really like. You know, you can really offer something up as a different space that people walk past, people drive past, people go on buses and public transport past, cycle past, you know, increasingly. Great. But you know, it does stop people in their tracks. It's a huge work made of yellow rope that's been unraveled, and sort of some blue, like a big blue sort of plastic poncho. It's interesting. And I wanted Simon to respond to that space, because the space in the window can read as part of the show, but also quite differently. When you're in the gallery space and looking at the rest of the exhibition, you don't see the window space. So you know, you can actually have a little bit more fun there and play with it differently. Simon responded by bringing in some found pallets, you know, wooden pallets because our window space is kind of sunk down slightly. So he wanted to sort of elevate the piece so that it, you know, you could see the whole piece from the street. So it's, you know, it's placed, installed on these wooden pallets. And then on the wall behind, he has opened up sandbags, which again sort of relates, so found materials, they're striped red and white sandbags, and they're sort of made into a mural behind the piece. And that relates back to his project that he did, you know, last year with the, I guess, the flood damaged house. Mm. Yeah, so that's, I think, a really interesting conversation as well.
Mm. I guess to kind of wrap up our kōrero today, for people who do see the show, do you have any hopes for viewers engaging with the works?
Yeah, look, I think the world has gone through some interesting times in the last, you know, what is it, since COVID started, however many years that is. You know, we've had some tough times, and I think there's a lot of darkness that comes out, but I think these works also have a quirkiness to them, which is interesting. You know, there's a bit of humour. Simon Andres refers to his as, you know, sort of hard-boiled cartoons. You know, they're sort of avatars of, I think, his feelings in a way, you know, sort of a menagerie of anxious misfits, I think he calls them. And, you know, and I think there's a little bit of that in all of us. Mm-hmm. It's just to what degree, maybe. So I think there is something that you can come and see the show, see the conversations going on. They do make people smile too, some of these works, which is quite interesting to see, and they are quite beautiful. So yeah, come along and see the show.
That was Melanie Rogers speaking to me about Dark Matter, a group exhibition showing Simon Andres, Harry Cooley, Simon Atwell and Kirsten Roberts. The show is on at Melanie Rogers Gallery until the 6th of June.